Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is March the 11th, 2013. I want to welcome everybody to the call today, and this is the AR Library Q&A call. So for our first question, I was just wondering if it's possible to understand why women tend to need to know every single detail about an affair, and why will they need to continually bring it up and talk about it until they feel satisfied? I would just like to help on understanding and not letting myself get frustrated when things keep going, coming up month after month or years down the road that I thought had been resolved. I want to be an open book with her, but from reading others' experiences, this seems like a source of conflict between spouses that lasts a long time. Well, first off, what causes the questions for people as they come up is the triggers, and so suddenly in their mind they're trying to connect the dots. Your mate isn't asking the same questions over and over again because they want to try to trick you or catch you. People continue asking the same questions over and over again because they want to actually believe you, and in their mind, it doesn't make sense, so they keep asking in that attempt to try and believe. I mean, it's not that they don't want to believe. They definitely do want to believe. So that's one of the first reasons that things continue to come up. It's their attempt to get their mind around it and to understand. It's like, if I can just ask it one more time the right way, then potentially it'll finally make sense. So being patient in answering those questions is very important. Another reason deals with how different people deal with trauma. I always say that women have a tendency to want to keep touching that wound 1,000 times until it doesn't hurt anymore. Part of the process of grieving is just the ability to talk about it. And I don't know that talking about it or bringing it up, that's more of a grieving rather than a questioning thing. So with the first part, what you had said, I think there's two things in here. Why will they need to continually bring it up and talk about it until they feel satisfied? It's their way of facing it and healing it and getting their mind around it so that it makes sense to them. Because until it makes sense, they're still troubled by it. And sometimes the reason that people, I think, farther down the line, where there's a continual source of conflict, is if we, as those of us who have been unfaithful, if we get defensive, then it kind of exacerbates it and makes them want to talk about it more. So, you know, they do need to understand details about the affair. I don't personally believe it's good for them to understand every single detail about the affair, and we recommend that as little knowledge as possible is good for them. I mean, they get to determine. I think they need to determine how much they need to know, but be careful about disclosure, or they need to be careful about what they ask, because anytime a hurt spouse is asking questions that will paint a picture in their mind, ultimately it's going to create a problem for them. They're far better off not asking those questions. I believe in the long run, being able to just not the comparison questions where they compare themselves against another person because of the intrusive thoughts, but they need to know how frequently, if there's protection, where it happened, how you deceive them. Those things are very important. So just remember, it's partly a matter of they want to believe you, and two, it's their way of processing trauma. So hopefully that can help you out as you go forward. Second question. Can you help me get past the emotional intimacy my husband had with this AP? It's been my biggest hurdle, how he was able to be so emotionally intimate with her in a matter of 3 months when I craved and begged for it for him for years. It just makes the hurt deeper. And even though it's been a year, he still has a hard time verbalizing his feelings. I look forward to our EMSO tonight because he seems to open up with the group. But once class is over, he puts that man away. When I try to share my heart with him, he listens, but he still says nothing. The verbal communication has been my greatest need for years, and he's admitted that he now sees It is a need, not just a want. But yet, he's still quiet. He has also said that he feels safe in the class, and his AP made him feel alive and validated. And I understand the vanity mirror concept. And I know all the dirty secrets and live in the real world with him. But how do I not take it personally? If I'm taking steps to forgive him and work on intimacy in our relationship, why is it so hard for him? This whole thing from day one sucks. If his affair is about him and not about me, then why does it feel like I'm the one who pays the biggest price over and over and over? I don't want anyone else, but the thought that he may always continue to avoid intimacy makes me frustrated and defeated. Please tell me there's hope. Well, there's definitely hope, and you definitely have the biggest price to pay. I think that all this has done is revealed a deeper problem within him, and I will tell you that the intimacy that occurs, and I've said this over and over, outside in a romantic relationship is very different than the intimacy that takes place within a marriage. That it is not natural, I think, for many people, men in particular, to know how to be intimate in a marriage relationship. And it's something that ultimately they have to learn. It is a learned skill and something they can learn. And you'll find as you go through your Married for Life series after the EMSO course that we talk a lot about how you increase intimacy and how do you increase that emotional connection. It's imperative, you're right about this, that you find something better. I mean, now that he's beginning to see it, I think patience and allowing him to work through it. Part of the advantage of doing the EMSO class is your husband begins to experience that he can be intimate, and maybe you're not going to freak out. But it'll be kind of a developed taste for him over time, but something I hope he commits to, that both of you commit to, because as long as you begin to be intentional about developing that ability to be intimate, he can learn to do this over time. But it isn't going to happen just because he does EMSO. It'll be doing the Married for Life series. It'll be other ways, you know, other courses you take, learning to have really good, legitimate conversations. I think that it's kind of the beginning of a new life for him. He may know what it looks like with an affair partner. It's interesting. I can even see what a lot of guys who can do it with their kids, they just can't do it with their wife. You know, they can share their heart and or show affection in ways that they can't do in the marriage, even though they could do it in an affair, or they could do it with the kids, or they can do it with a dog, for that matter. Just the fact that they can do it somewhere means that they're going to be able to do it elsewhere, too. They're going to learn to do it with you. But you're going to have to give them time, and you're both going to have to be intentional as you move forward and try to develop that. Another suggestion in terms of making that happen, often I recommend just for conversation's sake that couples begin to read together when they travel. Anything you can do that just creates conversation between the two of you, even if it's reading a book out loud and then commenting on what you hear, is going to be something that facilitates that growth together. Hopefully, that'll be helpful for you. And here's our last question for the day. In my Harboring Hope book, it says, even if you are unable to trust your mate, trust God with your mate. I've also heard you say that your wife says she doesn't trust you, but she does trust God with you. I was wondering where the balance comes in that. If I don't trust my husband, does that mean I'm constantly checking his phone records and his email and being suspicious of him? Or do I trust God and believe that God will convict him and keep him on the right path and not check on my husband at all? It has only been 2 months since discovery for me, so I'm struggling with how to handle this trust every day. We are separated and live in different states. My husband seems to be taking the proper steps to get help, and he tells me that he is changing, that he doesn't desire to do his old behaviors. But how do I know if he's telling the truth? And should I just take him at his word when he lied to me so much in the past? Well, first off, being 2 months out, I think, I don't know if anybody hardly, in who's maybe healthy, who can fully trust 2 months out. I think it's way too early. And if you're separated, you certainly don't have enough proof, examples of seeing his behavior to let you know whether or not it's a safe relationship. So for that matter, I guess I would just personally think, understand it's going to take time. Trust will come back over a period of about 2 years when you see consistency. I mean, there are certainly things he has to do to help you. One is just being trustworthy over time, where he follows through with what he commits to do 90% of the time. And at least you'll see him as trustworthy if he can do that, where he first trusts you with the information. When he begins to take responsibility and stays on the path of being healthy in terms of his own health, so you can know he's going to be safe, where he's willing to make restitution and try to take care of you, where you see reform. All of those things help develop trust. Stephanie certainly wouldn't have said that she trusted me with God. I think that right at 2 months, I think she would have said, she might trust God to take care of her, but she had no earthly idea what I was going to do. And I think even in harboring hope, knowing Leslie, if you're unable to trust your mate, trust your God with your mate, same thing. Trust is something that whether or not someone's going to be safe and you can trust them really takes a period of sobriety where they're able to stop the behavior before you can begin to lean into that. So please don't be too hard on yourself. If he's lied for many years, it might take many years, or to feel totally comfortable, it may take a long time before you can go, wow, you know, I feel really safe again in this relationship. Ultimately, to trust, you've got to be able to see that he's trustworthy. You've got to be able to see that he's doing what he needs to take care of himself. And you have to have a fairly good idea of the probabilities of this occurring again, that the two of you are on the same page and you're both committed to doing what's necessary to keep this relationship safe. Once those are in place, you're going to find that being able to trust will come easier to you over time. But one other thing, I know that you can replace trust with honesty. When you don't trust somebody, that's not necessarily bad. Most people get into trouble because they trust too much and they never ask questions. If a couple's on the same page and they're helping each other, then you'll find, I believe, that just asking questions and being honest with one another can help you feel secure even in the moment before trust is redeveloped. Finally, if you're seeing proof over time that your mate's doing well, and I'm talking probably even beyond, you know, 9 months, 12 months, at 18 months. Well, sometimes a place to start, believe it or not, is just refusing to mistrust. I mean, if there's enough proof, you can go, okay, I just refuse to mistrust. I don't trust, but at least I can sit there and come to the middle position, refuse to mistrust. And then you may find that trust slowly builds from that position, but don't begin to trust too quickly. Just work on honesty, work on recovery, sit back and observe and see, you know, are they doing what's necessary to be whole and to help you heal? Those will be your signs that ultimately there'll be someone you can trust. That being said, that's all of our questions for the day. Certainly want to thank everybody for joining the call, and I look forward to talking to you guys next week. I hope everybody has a very good week to healing.